I'd like to welcome everybody that's out there on the Facebook page or YouTube, whatever you happen to be watching by, and we just speak your blessing to you all. And today, we're going to get back into our series. I watched Brother David's sermon from last week. He did a really good job, and I was very pleased with the message that he brought. And I think to myself, you know, I spoke with some folks and told them who I was and that, you know, I'm pastor of this church. And I gave them the Facebook page information and said, you know, we're live. So if they went there on Sunday, because I gave it to them on Saturday, if they went there on Sunday, they didn't see me. They saw Brother David. And they're probably wondering, that's not him. Well, hopefully they're back today because I forgot to tell them I was on vacation and wouldn't be there on Sunday. But that's okay because they heard the word. And that's what it's about, is getting that word out. And that's why we put it out on the internet. So today, if you would, turn in your Bibles with me. You all know that we have been looking at a very particular set of scriptures. And gee, guys, I'm sorry. Pete, if you'll come up here and take this from me, you'll have the scriptures that you can put them up on the screen. I make these little sticky notes, and I forgot to give it to him. Now he can put the scriptures up on the screen. We're in the book of Matthew, by the way. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, because again, we're still where we were. We have not moved, because it's all in this story here that Jesus has given us, the parable of the marriage feast, that we're taking these lessons of what it means that we come, that we are guests, and that we are invited, because we come as guests invited. And each of those three pieces is very specific. We come, we are guests, and we are invited, and we need to understand them. If you weren't here for the first two, please go online, and you'll get those sermons, and you'll be able to see what it means to come to the Lord, and what it means to be a guest. And today, we're going to be looking at the invitation. In Matthew 22, beginning in the second verse, let us remind ourselves of the scriptures, the word of God, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. He says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. He said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As we look at these words that are penned here for us, the one thing we have to understand is Jesus is telling us that we are invited, correct? If we are coming, we are invited. We have to understand that there is nothing that we have done that warrants an invitation. An invitation is given on the bequest of the Master, on the bequest of the Father. Okay, I can remember when Russell and Noel were planning their wedding, okay, and they were going through the list of people. They needed to get it down. They kept paring it down. At one time, they were at almost 400 people, and they needed to get it down to 250, And they kept knocking people off that were out on the fringes. Yeah, but this person knows my dad because he's the best friend to, you know, and they started knocking off those outer fringe people. Because somebody had to be not invited. Or it would have been just too big for them to take care of. Do you think God has that problem? No. No. Heaven is limitless. God is limitless. We are limited. Even our universe is limited. We don't know how, because we keep finding more of it. The more that we look, the smarter we get, and the more of it we find, the more of it there is. But the reality is, the universe has a limit. God has set it. But God has no limit. And God can take all in. And he would that all would come. But he knows some are not going to come. And that's exactly what happened in the very first part of this parable. From verses 2 through 7, we know that these people who were the people of promise, what we call the people of promise, the Jewish people, they were invited to the wedding feast all the way back when Abraham received the covenant. Okay? They were invited personally. They were God's chosen people when he delivered them up out of Egypt, when he brought them to his holy mountain, when he set them into the holy promised land. They were his people. They were the people of promise. God gave them an invitation graven in stone. What happens to a people when they have everything and begin to take it for granted? I want you to think about our very own culture. Prior to World War II, and there's a couple of people here who can remember that far. You were probably just little at that time. But prior to World War II, we were a very poor nation. We were going through the Great Depression. Nobody had two pennies to rub together. Things were not good in our United States. But World War II happened, and a people who are called by his name stood up. They called on the name of the Lord. The president on national TV, if y'all remember these things, called the entire nation to a time of prayer. And asked the Lord to bless them, to defeat this great evil that had come upon our world, both in Germany and from Japan. We were fighting at two different places in our world, fighting for freedom, fighting for life. And a new country pretty much was born out of it. The Industrial Revolution took off, and we became the greatest nation on the face of the earth, outproducing every other nation in the world. And the pride of American people rose to a place where it had never risen to before and has never reached since. And we became a people of promise. We became a people who were filled with the goodnesses of life. Where before we had landlords, now we were the landlords. We have a middle class because of that Industrial Revolution. We have a middle class because God blessed our nation and allowed us to become who we are. But what has happened in our world? We have raised up a generation that has raised up a generation, and we're now into the third generation beyond those people. And we have forgotten where we came from, because we are now children of the promise. We are now, it's owed to us. I want you to think about it. We have an entire world out there right now, a bunch of young people out there right now who believe or think that what they have is entitled to them. We should all have a cell phone. I'll never forget when the government started handing out cell phones to people. That was a luxury for me. I had to move my budget around so as a pastor, I could purchase a cell phone so you could get a hold of me in an emergency situation, no matter where I was, at 24 hours a day. you could get a hold of me. And I had to pay for that. But guess what? The government said, no, these people need that. They're entitled to it. Why are they entitled to it? Did they work for it? Did they do anything for it? This is exactly what happened to Israel. At this point in time, in this story, what we have read, when it came time for the son to be married to the bride, remember, if Israel would have chosen him, none of what is happening right now would be happening. We would be in the kingdom now. It would look a whole lot different, but we would be in the kingdom now because Christ would have started his millennial reign at that time. We're 2,000 years later. What happened? They became children of greed. They knew they were the children of promise. So when God called on them, rather than submitting themselves, well, we already have everything we need. We don't need to go to that. We don't need to do that. We have everything. We don't need you anymore. And isn't that where our kids are today? Isn't that where our world is today? We don't need God anymore. Look at everything we have. You have nothing. Outside of God, there is death. We see that here in the story because there are going to be even some who try to come and they get thrown out. We need to understand that God invites us. This is God's initiative. It's not something we've done, not something we've earned. It's by grace, and that's my second point. It is by grace and mercy that we have been invited. And I'm going to tell you right now that when we think about that grace and mercy cost God something, the blood of his son. Because you see, the invitation is no longer graven in stone. Now it's written in blood. The blood of the Lamb. And it speaks through all eternity, past, present, and future. It cannot go away. It cannot be quenched. Because when you killed bulls and calves, the blood only lasted for a little time because those animals were temporal. Jesus, a sinless man, would have lived forever. He would not have died. We all do understand that, right? He was without sin. What brings death? Without sin, he'd have lived forever. His blood, the blood throwing through Jesus Christ, the man God, would have lived forever. Death would not have taken him. That's a theological fact. But he poured out his blood willingly. He took the cross of Calvary for you and me. That his blood was spilled out, innocent blood, eternal blood, for the sins of all of us for all time. That invitation now, as God brings it, is an invitation of grace, an invitation of peace. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 21 through 30. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 30. Beginning in the 21st verse. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate, his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Is it excluded? By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith. For he is one. Blessed be the Lord. Brothers and sisters, when we read that scripture, you cannot help but see that the blood of Christ, as we believe by faith, the blood of Christ is what cleanses us. It is what holds us to God. It is the invitation to come into that very grace by faith, believing and understanding that God has sent the invitation. His Son, Jesus Christ, is the invitation. Can I get an amen? There is no other. There are a lot of potentates out there who are telling people, oh, you can come to God in many ways. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. You know, I think it's funny. I've seen these billboards out there. Just two big words. It says, no, what don't you understand? Okay? It's the same principle here. What don't you understand? He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Not a way, a truth, or a life. That little word, the, is very important because we don't get to change a jot or a tittle in the scriptures. For every jot and tittle shall stand through all eternity. That's God's word. And we need to understand there's a whole world out there. And we're going to meet those people on today when we go out on our prayer walk. We're going to meet some of those people. And they're going to bring up all kinds of excuses. Okay? They're going to tell us, oh, well, you know, I belong to this faith. And well, do you go to church? Well, no. Well, so how's that working for you? Now, I won't say that to them. Okay? I'm not that brash. But you get my point, okay? Because there are so many people, their lives are all messed up and they don't understand why, but I'm a Christian. Really? Are you struggling through this? Are you calling on the name of the Lord? Are you getting down on your face and confessing your sin? Are you truly looking into your own heart and changing who you are because God's calling you to something greater? Or are you just perpetuating the mess and expecting something different to happen? That's called crazy. And our world's full of it. And Jesus is the cure for it. And the invitation has been written 2,000 years ago. But the amazing thing is, that's not truth either. Because according to the book of Revelation, it says, before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified. I can't wrap my head around that. But he's eternal. If it happens in time, it's already happened for him. Whether it was before time began or after time ends, because time means nothing to God. We're stuck in time. He is time. It so amazes me when I think about the love of God. He knew all your junk before he brought you into existence. Now, if I was your God, I'd have simply said, we're skipping the middleman. This person's not coming into existence. Aren't you glad I'm not your God? Because if one of you was God, you'd have done the same thing to me. I'm so glad my God is a God of grace, a God of love, a God of compassion who says, I am and I love you and I want to know you. I want you to know me. He says, I'm sending the invitation. You didn't do anything. I'm sending. I want you here with me. In fact, so much so that he sent his son that we would be justified through faith. What does justified mean? Remember, Marion told us what it meant 2 weeks ago? Just as if I had never sinned. What? Yeah. Because when we confess and turn from our sin, he remembers it no more. That's grace. That's mercy. That's compassion. That's love unending. And all of that's available. And the amazing thing is, do you know who holds us to sin? Do you know who holds us to sin? We want to blame that and say, well, that's Satan. He does that stuff. No. It's you. It's you. It's your own psyche. It's your own inadequacies. It's mine. It's my own inadequacies. Because we think there should be punishment. Guess what? We're wired that way. Because there is a way. There is a truth. And there is a life. And if we didn't know that, we would not have any moral compass whatsoever. And when we find Christ and he finally gets that moral compass lined up where north is north and south is south and east is east and west is west, all of a sudden things begin to make sense in our lives, don't they? And that's what we need to remember. When we get that invitation, when we receive that invitation, you know, it's an invitation until it's received, okay? Because once it's received and you come, now you are a guest. If you receive the invitation and you don't come, you are not a, you're nothing. And there are many people that the scripture speaks of, and that's my third point. In verse 14 of our scripture, turning back to the book of Matthew, verse 14, Matthew 22, Matthew 22. Verse 14, it says this. It says, for many are called, but few are chosen. We need to remember the slaves were sent out to call as many as they could. Okay? But we have to remember, God here says few are chosen. Well, what's he talking about? You know, God invites everybody. The invitation is for everyone. But God knows there are only certain ones who are truly going to accept him. There are certain ones who are only, that are going to truly give up their all in all to become part of what God wants us to be. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the church is littered full of people who come to church because it's the right thing to do. I want to look good. But they don't give their heart to Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen from the church? And there are going to be those who are in the church who are going to say, well, look at the righteous things I've done. That statement alone tells me you've got a problem. Because I'll tell you right now, the only reason I'm here preaching the word of truth is because Jesus Christ changed my heart. I mean, I'm married to a lady over here for 33 years. 33, yes. I'm the one who keeps track of it. I would tell her 34 and she'd say, yeah. And that's truth. I had to think, this is 8, we were married on a 5. Yep, that would be 33. She knows who I was. I was not a good man. As the world saw me, I was a good man. Oh yeah, Rich, he's a good guy. Wrong. I was selfish. I was self-centered. I was egotistical. I was angry all the time. I don't know how she stuck around. But by the grace of God. And the neat thing is, neither one of us were Christians. God got my heart, which that was a big work. And then God got her heart. And it's been a wonderful ride since, hasn't it? I wouldn't give up a moment of it. Not one moment. And some of it's been hard, people. Some of it's been hard. And it's going to get hard. Because this world is where we go through hell. This is the only hell we'll ever know. Because once we've received that invitation and once we become guests because we have come, I'll guarantee you life is different. Life changes. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're listening to one of those potentates out there that speaks of the fact that, oh, everything's going to get better and everything's going to be good and you're going to be wealthy and get away from them. They're liars. All they're doing is getting wealthy on your wants. God may bless some of us to the increase financially, but God blesses us to the increase spiritually, that we may have treasures where? Not on earth, where things are destroyed and moth or thief steals and moth destroy and rust. You know what I'm saying. It's so amazing to me when I think about this wonderful invitation that God gives. And there are going to be those who aren't going to receive it. And I want us to understand that we're going to go out there today. You know, for you folks out on the internet that are wondering what I'm talking about, we're getting ready to go on a prayer walk where we're going to go out into our neighborhood once a month. We're going to be doing this. And we're going to do it 2 hours on a Sunday, the last Sunday of the month. We're going to go out and we're going to invite people to church. We're going to go out, we're going to introduce ourselves to folks, tell them about our church. It's the best kept secret in Lebanon County. Well, we're going to make sure that it gets out there because we want folks to know Jesus Christ loves them. We want them to know that there's a church that's willing to pray with them. We want them to know that there's a church who's willing to get dirty for them and into their lives and help them with their struggles, because we help each other right now, don't we? Amen. Because I'm telling you, if we're not down in the muck and the mire, if we're not down there working to get ourselves and others out, we are of no worth. Because Jesus Christ himself came down into the muck and the mire and brought every one of us up out. And that's what he asks us to do. We're now to become those servants, to go out into the fields, into the highways, into byways, and to bring in the good and the bad. Because how many of you here were bad boys or bad girls before Christ knew you? Every one of you, for the scripture says in the book of Romans, no one is good, no, not one, for no one seeketh God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Truly, in our world, we say, well, they're a good person. They're a bad person. I like to think about it in God's way. You're all worthless. But from the cross of Calvary, he spreads wide his arms in love and says, but you're all worth it. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. That's what we want to do. We want to be proclaimers of that invitation. We want to understand that we're going to find folks who are not receptive. That's okay. Because God sends out invitations more than once. If you read the scriptures, he sent the people out several times. God is a God of second chances and third chances. How many of us here today have received second and third chances? And praise God, because we need them. We're an ignorant people, aren't we? Ignorant means not knowing, right? But once we know and once we begin to understand, well, then things can start to click and we can come under something. God has sent Jesus to cure ignorance. Did you know that? The light of the world has been meant to cast out darkness. Darkness is ignorance, not knowing. Because you can't see. How many of you in the dark? Now, I'll tell you right now, I have great respect for blind people because they've never seen light. And yet they're able to walk around and navigate and what have you. But we who have seen light, and I'm talking worldly light, what happens to you at 2 o'clock in the morning when you get up and don't want to turn the lights on in your own home? How many of you have stubbed your toe? How many of you have tripped over something laying in the middle of the floor? Well, that wasn't there. Yes, it was. Your wife didn't put it there just to make you fall. It's always been there. And Jesus, who is the light of the world, opens our eyes. He takes away the darkness. He brings clarity. Because when he brings that clarity, we finally see the invitation is very real, very personal, and comes directly from the Father himself. That we warrant it not. Remember, those who did warrant it were rejected. Now he's come to us who are out there in the highways and the byways, the no ones, the nobodies. And he says, you are somebody to me. I'm the king. And I'm telling you, I want you to come to my son's wedding banquet. The thing that he doesn't tell us and we don't find out really until we get there, we know it. We know it. What's the surprise, folks? Because we have come, we become the bride. That's the greatest mystery of it all. How can we be a guest invited and to find out that, oh my goodness, we're the guest of honor. We're the bride. And we will be arrayed in garments of fine linen, the righteousness of the saints, which we all know is the righteousness of Christ. There's a whole bunch of people out there that need to hear that, need to know that. And today, and I think it's so cool because I'm looking around and a bunch of you wore your shirts today, the Heart of Christ Church. Because we want to get that name out. Because we know it's not about a name, but it's about becoming what our name says, the Heart of Christ. Because without the Heart of Christ in us, we have no Christ at all. Today, let's be the invitation. Let's take the invitation out into the highways and the byways. And let us bring in the good and the bad. And make them just as we have been made through love, mercy, grace, compassion, and healing. The righteousness of Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me today? Father God, we thank you so much for the love that you have given us, for the all that is you. And Lord God, we understand now when Peter spoke from the book of Acts and said to repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. This promise is not only for you, but for all who are far off, that Lord, you were talking about us and those that we're going to meet today and tomorrow and the next day. Because, Lord, it's now our job to take that invitation out. Lord, may we be worthy of that invitation. May we be worthy of your love. Father, guide us, keep us, hold us, and prepare us to be thy people. No matter what we may find, may we be found faithful in your eyes. In Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.